everybody. Welcome to episode 001 of the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com podcast. I'm D.A. Arliss, and I'll be your host, I hope weekly, on this podcast for not just my guitar students, but for guitarists all over the place. I hope you're listening. I'm going to do my best to keep my speech at a speed that everyone can understand. I live very near to Manhattan, and in this part of the country, we tend to speak faster than people speak in other places. So, with that thought, I'm going to try to pace my thoughts and my words. Well, why in the world am I doing this podcast? Well, I'm doing it for my students, as I said, and for guitarists all over. Heretofore, on my website, which is GuitarTechniqueTutor.com, all words spelled traditionally, GuitarTechniqueTutor.com. I've had a section that weekly has been changed primarily for my students, but I've picked up a lot of readers over the last year or two, and I thought that this weekly changed information would be best disseminated and used if it were in a podcast rather than printed form on the website. It frees people up to load it onto their iPod, otherwise MP3 player, their BlackBerry, any other smartphone they have, or just download it on their computer and listen to it when it's convenient, rather than having to actually log on, go to the website, look at it, read it. I think it's time. I'm finally taking my own advice that I've been giving people all over, which is if they have something that needs to be disseminated to a broad audience, the website's great and it's helpful and you can link to it, but there's nothing really quite like a podcast. So bear with my engineering. I'm doing this entirely myself. It's going to be rough for a few weeks. Just remember back when you began to play the guitar, if you're a guitarist, you know it wasn't smooth right away. Well, I'm going to have a bit of a learning curve here. I'm going to do this really simply. I don't plan to edit the bulk of each section of the podcast. You know, if I misspeak, I misspeak. I'll just correct myself. It'll be more like we're in your living room rather than me in a studio and perfecting this for release on the world stage. So let's get into a little bit about what's going to be in this podcast. Three things I've been offering on my website that have changed just about weekly are something I call Student Spotlight, something I call News, and something I call the Question of the Week. Those are all going to be included probably in the early section or early part of each podcast. The Student Spotlight is a place where by just first name I can mention whatever students have stood out in the previous week for their accomplishment or mastering a technique or whatever. And I like to encourage them. And it's also a very good stimulus for those who have just fallen a little short, who would like to be in the spotlight. So all around, it's just a little kudo for students who have done well. Then there's something I called news, and that can be anything from a press release from a particular guitar maker that I like, or whose quality and merchandise is good, or has a particular purpose, to something you should be doing at a particular time of year to maintain your guitar well, and anything in between. It's a really catch-all sort of topic. Another thing that has really drawn a lot of readers to my website, and I hope even more listeners to the podcast, is the Question of the Week. During the course of my week's teaching, I am asked all kinds of questions. I want my students to know they need to ask anything they don't understand or anything they're curious about. And for the most part, the questions that appear in the Question of the Week had their genesis at some student's lesson. However, I have been having more and more readers of my website submit questions by email, and I would like to invite you to do that as well. The email address is guitartechnique at gmail.com. That's GUITARTECHNIQUE. Guitartechnique at gmail.com, not guitartechniquetutor at gmail.com. And in the event you decide to submit a question via email, I will surely read it and I will surely give it consideration. And I may choose to broadcast it on this podcast. I may choose to give you a personal reply, which I'm not promising everyone who writes, but I'll do what I can. Or if it's something I've really beaten to death already and recently, I will let you know and I'll probably thank you for your comment. And encourage you to submit other questions you might have about playing or technique or things like that. So those things are going to be covered in the certainly in the first half of this podcast. Something else I'm going to, excuse me, I'm hoarse because I've been teaching all day today. This is not my usual voice, but if I don't do this today, it's not going to get done for a week because my apartment is rarely quiet and I have to record Monday morning or Tuesday morning or it's not going to get done. So, as I was saying, another topic I'm going to cover will be, I guess we'd call it take note. Pardon the pun on music, but it's a good topic head. And this is going to be, perhaps I'll address a technique issue that people are confused about, or something about accessories, or something about music in general. It might be about theory, and I am not promising at this point anyway to have a weekly progressing lesson. That's not what this is about, although I'm considering something like that off in the future. But what this is intended to do is fill in gaps. There are, well, you know the old joke among quote-unquote legit musicians. Guitarists are third from the bottom of the food chain. You know, and any working musician will tell you this. I mean working musician, not just working guitarist. Guitarists won't tell you this because guitarists think they're wonderful. But among legit working, well-trained musicians, the joke goes, the bottom of the food chain are singers and blonde singers at that. The next to the bottom of the food chain of poorly educated and poorly trained musicians is drummers. And only up a smidge from drummers would be guitar players. And that has been the bane of my existence for my entire guitar life, because the truth is there are some brilliant guitar players who are well trained and who are well-rounded musicians. But alas, that's not the majority of them. And if you're a guitarist who somehow has lost something or has gaps in your knowledge or is a shark where you're a technical whiz but you don't have a clue what you're doing or why and it's starting to get stale, or you're a brain and you've read everything about music theory there is and you get the idea of basically how you make sound on the guitar but you don't know how to marry those two things, or you're someone who's convinced that tab is the only way to play guitar music, which is kind of an oxymoron because tab isn't music, but we'll go into that another time. I'm hoping that this take note section is going to help you. I really want to be helpful. The turn in the economy has caused me to realize that I'm really, really fortunate. My student lesson book is really as full as I need it to be and want it to be for the summer. It's fabulous. During the academic year from September to June, I usually have a wait list. So I'm really fortunate. I live in an area where there's probably a plethora of people who can still, with the bad economy, still afford to enrich themselves with the guitar lessons that I offer, or enrich their children if it's a school-aged student. But I know there are a lot of you out there who either play recreationally or would like to play professionally, who have the maturity to recognize you're really not where you want to be with your guitar. And I'm hoping, because there's no cost or obligation to get this podcast, you may hear something, you may be pushed in a direction that was maybe uncomfortable for you before. Maybe I'll mention some resources that you should have. So the take note section is going to involve that kind of information. And that's the part of the podcast that is really intended to be broad. That and the question of the week is really intended for every guitarist out there. Another thing that will show up, I hope once a month on the podcast, will be what in the past on my website was called Student Newsletter and was a bi-monthly, in which I, again by first name only, listed my students and gave them a general comment about their progress and what they need to work on over the past 2 months. And I'd like to do that also here on this podcast. And you know, if you're really bored with that and don't think you can learn anything or identify yourself among the range of students and their advancement levels that I have, tune out, you know, or, you know, listen to something else. But because it's going to be on a podcast and I don't have to sit down and write it all out, or keyboard it all, I should say, I'm hoping to have my student newsletter change in name to Student Review and hopefully put it up monthly. I did not put up my June student newsletter on my website, so I'm thinking that probably in episode 002 I will put the June student review, which replaces the June student newsletter. Anything I discuss on this podcast will that has a link online, I will be sure to put show notes up on the website, and hopefully introduce you to information that you really, really need or would like to at least investigate. The whole reason for my professional life as a guitar instructor is to assist people who want to master the guitar. I've had people call me to teach them rhythm guitar. It's really narrow subject. I have nothing against rhythm players. I got some friends who are rhythm guitar players. They're great people. My problem is when someone is a really, really a beginner player and they want to focus their attention on just rhythm, I've got a problem with that. And I know that my philosophy of music education and guitar playing doesn't align exactly with the way the majority of people out there who take money for giving guitar lessons think. It's a given. If you think long and hard about how to teach, then you have one philosophy. If you really need some quick cash when you're not playing out, or you don't have any work and you can play the guitar and you want to pick up some quick money, you might not think so long and hard about what you're going to present to a student, how you're going to approach their education. For me, my goal is for my students to be well-rounded musicians who coincidentally play the guitar. That doesn't mean that my students write reams and reams of theory homework and play for a few minutes in a lesson. It just means that anything they play, they understand musically what they're doing, why they're doing it, why it's that way, and so on. Anyone listening to this who does not yet play the guitar or is pondering getting guitar lessons for someone they love, if it's a child, great. If it's anybody else, let them find lessons for themselves. Hiring an instructor, a weekly instructor for something like a musical instrument, or I guess even anything in the fine arts, or for that matter, a tutor of an academic subject, there really needs to be a correct fit. It's like sending someone to buy shoes for you. You really can't unless you tell them, you know, I want this brand, this size, this width, and this exact style. Well, you're not going to find that with an instructor. There's give and take, and you could surely give someone the phone number of a competent instructor, but you know, Christmas time, Christmas and Hanukkah time, I should say, and various other times of the year, I get calls from individuals wishing to, quote unquote, surprise their loved one with guitar lessons. and you really can't do it. You can't even surprise a child with guitar lessons, because a child and a prospective instructor really need to meet before lessons begin. I know that's not the way most people work, but it's what's effective, and effective is what I'm about, because at the end of a week, when I go to sleep and think about my students, my goal is that if they are applying themselves and practicing and putting in the time they need to, they're definitely progressing because of what I've done. And that's how I legitimize what I do for a living. Anyway, got off the track a little bit. So, I hope you're in for the long haul with me. I really want to do this podcast on a weekly basis. And we'll format it. This is going to be just be a short one. Next week it's going to be full-fledged, long, and hopefully also have my student review in it for June. You might also be wondering, who is this person? What is she talking about, and why is she qualified, and does she just want to hear herself talk? And the answer is no, I don't just want to hear myself talk, although I do a good bit of that. I've been playing for decades and teaching for decades. I have played professionally. I have been commissioned to compose and perform music at such illustrious events as weddings at the UN Chapel, other various venues. I've had some pretty good instructors, and my focus is more on teaching than on performing, because as many of you who are aging guitarists know, we've got to really take good care of our hands. And that'll be something I spotlight also, hand, wrist, posture, all those things that some people don't think are important. They're really important. And as you get a little bit older, your bones and ligaments and muscles are not going to give you what they gave you when you were 25. So I don't maintain my repertoire. I polish it off and polish it up and clean it up when I need to take a commission to play somewhere. But it's not what I do for a living. What I do for a living is instructing. And if you're a buyer into the old saw, I'm not even going to call it an adage, the old saw that those who can do and those who can't teach, nothing could be farther from the truth, because there is another skill set involved with instruction. You all know that. Probably everyone who's listened to this has sat in a classroom with an instructor who was dynamic and fabulous and wonderful. Also, you've sat in classrooms with teachers who it was like they were talking another language. And you might even have had a friend who thought that same individual that you thought was talking another language, because they were so hard to follow or so not teaching to your strengths or really hitting you in all the weak areas of your understanding, you might have someone who said they were a really great teacher. And a perceptive instructor does not use the same format or progression of introducing information, or for that matter even various techniques, the same with every student. And that's what you find with a lot of instructors. They'll take a lesson book and they'll go from the beginning to the end, and then they'll take another lesson book and go from the beginning to the end. That's not quite as bad as having someone say, bring in a CD and tell me what you want to play, and have them write tab out for you. That's probably really, well, people shouldn't charge money for that. Let's leave it there. But anyway, so my philosophy of instruction is to make a holistic musician who plays the guitar masterfully. So that's what I do. That's what I've been involved with. My approach to teaching the guitar is unique and original. And you don't have to believe me, but the truth is my students tend to stand out heads and shoulders above those who are of their same playing experience. In other words, my beginning students who've played for, I don't know, 4 or 6 months compared to someone else's beginning guitar students who have played for 4 to 6 months, there's no comparison. And it's not magic. My students just have a clue what they're doing. They know exactly why they're doing it. And therefore, what they're doing is really logical and makes sense. It's not, oh, well, you do this this way, and you do this this way. And after a while, your brain, even if you're young, really runs out of space for random, disconnected thoughts and things to try to recall. So that's who I am. I'm in northern New Jersey, as I might have said at the outset, very close to Manhattan, close to the New York state line. And I look forward to spending some time with you each week in an effort to impart some knowledge to you that could be helpful to your development as a guitarist. And I'm going to now move ahead on to the various topics I'll probably be covering most weeks. This week I have four students to congratulate on doing extraordinarily well. And I'll make a disclaimer right here. I'm going to make every effort to list students, whether it's in Student Spotlight or in the Student Review, which will replace my student newsletter. I'll make every effort to list them alphabetically. I never want to show partiality or preference for any particular student. So the alphabetical list of my students who are in the Student Spotlight and upon whom the Student Spotlight shines this week are Anya, Danielle, Elliot, and Rob. They did exceptionally well. They applied themselves. They asked what they didn't understand. They learned what they were supposed to learn. They practiced what they were supposed to practice. And technically, they did rather well. So congratulations. I love all my students. I am pleased with how almost all of you are progressing. You who are practice slackers or practicers with only a quarter of your focus, you know who you are. I don't think I'll institute a hall of shame on this podcast, although that might be a motivating factor. Anyway, these were my students who won kudos. You did great, and I hope you keep up the good work throughout the summer. This week comes from the Epiphone Guitar Company. I have great affection for this company because my first three good guitars were all American-made Epiphones. This is going back some time. I don't currently own an Epiphone guitar, but I can tell you the American-made ones that were produced in Kalamazoo, Michigan before they started shipping a lot of their manufacturing overseas, they were just great guitars. Just great, great, great. Loved them. And I got a lot of playing out of them. I gave one to a student many years ago. Sold one to a friend of my dad's also quite a while ago. And just in the last, 4 years, I guess, I sold the last of my Epiphone guitars, which was I sold it because at the time the reissue of the Epiphone, I want to say Texan, I can't remember, but it was the reissue of the Paul McCartney guitar. Well, I had the original one and it was in extraordinary shape, had the original hard shell case, which, you know, had been around a bit. It got schlepped to New York City and all over the place for decades upon decades, but when that reissue was available, I play nylon string almost exclusively for my own playing, so I thought, well, no reason not to turn this baby into cash, but I really wanted to get the buyer I was looking for, and in fact, I did sell it on eBay, and I mean, I limited my eBay offerings to just people in the continental United States, mainly because I needed to be able to guarantee and ship it and have some assurance that I could confirm delivery of it, etc. And, I mean, people were contacting me from Japan and Italy and Australia who wanted this guitar. Even though it had, it definitely had some love marks. You know, the guitar had been played for quite a while. So, anyway, a guy in the Chicago vicinity finally purchased it for a great amount of money and made me feel really old. He said his grandmother taught him to play on exactly that guitar, and that's why he wanted it. I have a feeling that he probably did a little refurb work on it and has since sold it, but hey, I'm not a stalker of its model number. It's no big deal. But anyway, today's news from Epiphone is that if you are going to purchase a Les Paul Custom, which is a beautiful guitar, anyone should be thrilled to have a Les Paul. That's not the lower end Les Pauls now. This is Les Paul Customs. Since the end of June, they are now including a free hard shell case. And, you know, the truth is, let's be wise, guitar players. Don't turn your brain off just because you're looking at a pretty guitar. There isn't anything free. I think what they're doing is they're saying our markup on the guitar and the manufacturer's suggested list price, which we all know, other than perhaps the small individually owned guitar shop that's independent and not part of a chain, with the exception of them, nobody sells those guitars at the suggested retail. It just doesn't happen. It's just like buying a car. There's a quote-unquote suggested price, and it's also, you know, if you're looking to buy a high-end piece of jewelry, the price tag in the, unless you're in Macy's or something, but if you go to a good jeweler, the price on the jewelry is negotiable once you get over a certain dollar volume. So I think what the Epiphone company is saying is we've got enough play in the price that we put in our manufacturer's suggested retail to include the case, or padding is already in there for the case, so that the dealer that uses an additional price of the case to close the sale is going to be able to move more guitars. And I think that's reasonable, and a really good guitar should include a case. I'm looking at their display from their website, and you know, it shows a beautiful silver burst, an alpine white, and an ebony Les Paul. And don't forget, you lefties who actually insist on playing left-handed, that you can get a Les Paul Custom as a lefty. To get more information on this, you're going to have to speak to your nearby Epiphone dealer. I'm not going to refer you to anyone online, but if you have a guitar store, whether it's part of a chain or not, near you, get in touch with them if you're looking for a custom. And I dare say, I would be so bold as to say, if you bought a Les Paul Custom since June 25th, that's the date of my email from the company. If you've bought a Les Paul since then and you did not get a hard case, I would go back and talk to your dealer. I'd have the nerve to do that. I know not everyone will, but I'd also have the nerve to not pay whatever price was on the price tag. That's not to be insulting, but there's room for haggling, and I think not just in these times, but always, people need to get what they pay for and to get the best deal they can. And, you know, everyone can make out well if the purchaser gets a bit of a break and the seller gets a profit, but maybe not a gigantic profit, just a nice profit. I think the world would be a much better place. So let me close today's news with reminding you that the Epiphone company is now including a hard shell case with every Les Paul Custom. Thanks for listening, and now we're going to move along to our next topic. Question of the week comes from a few exasperated students, and I think it really merits repeating. Outside my window, my tightly closed window, because I'm in an air-conditioned room, it's right about 100 degrees right now. And I've had a few students whine at me this week saying, "Why do you keep telling me not to leave the guitar in the car?" Well, First of all, we don't want your guitar stolen, whatever quality instrument you have, especially if it's your only guitar. But not even that. You know, we want to keep our instruments safe and secure, and don't trust the world outside to be benevolent. Unfortunately, you can't do that anymore. But the primary issue with your guitar is that if you would not leave your puppy, kitten, or child in the environment you have your guitar, then the guitar's in the wrong environment. If you're not comfortable, your guitar isn't comfortable. And you've got to understand that whether you're dealing with a solid body electric guitar or an acoustic guitar, a beginner guitar, a $9,000 handmade guitar, doesn't really matter. You've got glue, you've got varnish, you've got lots of things that are affected by the heat, never mind the wood itself. You've got a much bigger issue with an acoustic guitar. Now, this is, if you are one of those people who have got a Rainsong guitar, you have much less to be concerned about. I'll cover Rainsong guitars at another time in another take note, or in a question of the week. But you've got to really be careful with your guitar. The biggest enemy of guitars, and you're going to hear me say this over and over because I do beat this to death on my website, is the environment. The environment, whether it's heat, cold, lack of humidity. Too much humidity isn't too bad other than for your strings. I mean, you know, 80% humidity for a sustained period might be a little bit troublesome. But when you're talking about your guitar being locked up, if you're in an environment like I am right now where it's 100 degrees, and you put that baby out in the sun, locked up with a guitar inside, you know, the temperature in the car is going to get to hundreds of degrees. Well, I'm not a scientist. It's going to be well over the 100 degrees it is outside if the sun's beating in. So, you know, think about your car when you've, I don't know, been at work all day or at a mall, and you open it up and it's like an oven. Well, if you wouldn't be comfortable sitting in there with the windows closed, no air conditioning, no roll-down window, don't put your guitar in that position. A trunk is just as bad. It might not get the extra light source, but it's going to heat up fast because it's a really small space. So don't whine and simper and whimper. If you've got your guitar with you for the day for a reason, say you're playing later, or you're taking your guitar to a guitar lesson, if your instructor doesn't come to your home, really, really, really be cautious. And if you have to make a fool of yourself or make yourself a spectacle, however you view what I'm going to tell you, take the guitar with you wherever you're going. You're going to a restaurant and it's lunchtime and you've got your guitar in the car, take the guitar in. What are you going to do? Some people are going to say, hey, do you play? Other people are going to stare at you. Kids will think you're really cool. So you take your guitar where you have to go. There was a time when I had to take two guitars throughout the day because of the nature of some of the students I was teaching. And I mean, I schlepped both of those guitars in and out of everybody's house. That's what I had to do. It's really important that the guitar is in the environment that you would be comfortable in. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That includes humidity. I'll talk at length on this subject too. Your guitar has to be humidified if you're in an environment where there's artificial heat, artificial drying like air conditioning, or just a really, really, really dry environment in general. Your guitar has to be humidified or it's going to get destroyed, or unpleasant to play at the very least. Okay, so that's this week of the question of the week. Thanks for listening, and we're going to move along to our last episode for today. for today, this take note section of the podcast is really not going to be devoted to ordinary take note type topics. But rather than that, I just want to reiterate the information you need about this podcast. You're listening to D.A. Arliss, your host at the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com podcast. My website is GuitarTechniqueTutor.com, all spelled in the traditional way. GuitarTechniqueTutor.com. You can find me on the web, and there are a lot of links to helpful information, whether it's buying a guitar or how to choose an instructor if you're not in the area where I teach. And I'll be making more expanded audio versions of some of those important pages. I welcome your comments. Be gentle with your criticisms. I need to get used to being an audio engineer. I haven't done this before. And also, if you have a question that you'd like me to cover in Question of the Week, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is guitartechnique, GuitarTechnique, at gmail.com. I'll do my best to reply to you either via broadcast or via email, but I cannot promise that I will be able to address every email I receive. Please, if you enjoy this, send the link or tell a guitar playing friend about this site. In future, I'll be covering how to find a good teacher and even how to buy a guitar if you're new to buying a guitar, and other topics such as those. If you can and you like this, please rate me on iTunes. It will just disseminate the information a little more thoroughly. So thanks for listening, and thanks for bearing with whatever inconsistency in audio level and editing and my speech, and I hope to get a little bit more comfortable behind the microphone. I don't think it was too terrible today, but wasn't great either. Doing my best, and I trust that there was a little something you might have learned today, or something that piqued your interest, or maybe you just want to have a fellow guitarist chat with you for a while. Whatever the reason you may have tuned into this podcast is, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you'll be back. And just a note to my listeners, this particular podcast has not been sponsored. In the event I pick up some sponsors, I want to assure you at the outset that I will never accept sponsorship or add money from any company, person, service, etc., that I don't already patronize or that I would not plunk my own money down for. So you don't have to worry about that. I can be bought. I've got high standards, as my students can attest, and I'm never going to be promoting anything on this website that is questionable or not worth your time, your money, or your investigation. So with that, I'm going to wrap it up for today. This is the conclusion of podcast 001. Hope to hear you or see you back next week. I hope you'll be listening. And keep practicing.